don't want to encourage piracy.
What they should go after is the pirates, I guess.
Fuck the SEC. Don't get mad because I say it. Don't get mad if they play it. Turn the radio if you don't like it.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio. Arr, arr, arr.
Come on, man. Let me feel it now.
Does anyone around here still have a radio?
I am a pirate. I should be arrested, jailed, or fined.
It's the Pirates Week for May 21st, 2006.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
This is the Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate community. We take a look into the past week's pirate activity, what's going on over at the Free Radio Network, an odd tech tip or two, general free radio and DXing news, the propagation forecast, throwing a little pod safe music, and, well, we call it the Pirates Week. Well, you know, here at the Pirates Week, we strive for at least 70% accuracy, or 30% crap. Whatever the case may be. Well, anyways, last week, if you remember, I kind of started off the show talking about this week in amateur radio being really different. Well, like I say, that goes under the 30% crap. Not this week in amateur radio. That fine product there, but the report that they're really different was crap. Seems that I was downloading the wrong file. They have two or three different versions of This Week in Amateur Radio, and I was trying to download it on Saturday, probably right when they were posting it. Either they had a link crossed or I did, one of the two. Anyways, I got a different version that I was used to that had all of the WBCQ intros and outros, and I noticed it about 2 hours after I posted last week's Pirates Week that I was listening to the wrong file. So anyways, that being said, like I said, 70% good, 30% crap. That's the Pirates Week. Well, before we get into pirates in the news, I thought I'd also talk about a couple other things really quick. One of the things, the Gulch, that's the internet stream that's dedicated to pirate radio listening. Usually I'll keep my receiver just tuned to 6925 and broadcast that out over the Gulch stream. Sometimes I'll put on some recent recordings. I think right now, what is it, Sunday morning, I think I have two or three recordings that I recorded off air last night that's looping on the Gulch. Anyways, I noticed that I had some really crappy sound coming out of it. Looked into it, and I was overpowering the software with the input. But I've rectified that now, so it should be a little bit easier listening to some of the on-air stuff. And of course, the link to the Gulch can be found on the homepage at www.shortwavepirate.info. And last week, I also talked about possibly getting a new microphone for the podcast. Haven't done it yet. I'm still using the really cheapo $12 Labtec desktop mic. Kind of interesting setup to make it work to its fullest potential. Using a real homemade pop filter, that's right, the wire coat hanger and the pantyhose, and surrounded the back of the mic with a towel to deaden the standing wave. Trying to make it sound as good as possible. That's the setup I've been running with now for about 6 months or so. Anyways, Rockin' Rick suggested using the Studio Projects B1 mic. That's a really nice mic, about $100. Took a serious look at it. I am looking for something, though, that I can plug right into the computer. I was considering last week the CO1U USB Studio Condenser microphone from Sansan. That's a really nice mic, but now I'm looking at a mic from Marshall's Electronics. That's the MXL microphone recording kit. Really nice microphone. It goes right into the computer. It's got its own power supply. It's a cardioid condenser mic. Really nice looking mic. Comes with a stand And I think that's what I'm going to go for. Well, before I ramble too far afield, let's get into pirates in the news. First up, we have a news story, or at least an update of an old news story. Back in September, the Pirates Week for September 25th, 2005, we brought you a story from the Hartford Courant that racist cops were running a radio station, 99.5 WNFR. Some members of that community was claiming that that stood for Nigger Free Radio, WNFR. The Bristol police officers were accused last year of broadcasting racist messages have been found to not violate any state laws. Chief State Attorney Christopher Morano's office released a report Friday that cleared Sergeant Richard Valentine and Captain Daniel Britt of any criminal wrongdoing. The third independent investigation into the allegations against the now retired officers. State Attorney Morano's report focused specifically on whether Valentine, Britt, or other off-duty police officers broke any laws when they broadcast on a low-power FM frequency from a studio in Valentine's basement. A previous investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice concluded that neither officer violated anyone else's civil rights, the scope of that agency's investigation. But the big pirate radio story this week is coming from Long Island, New York. WBAB had its signal hijacked May 17th at about 7:10 a.m. WBAB is a rock station on Long Island. They state on their website that Cox Radio and 102.3 WBAB are sickened by this incident. It goes against everything we stand for and are taking steps to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. They are putting up a $10,000 reward for information that leads to the successful conviction of the person or persons who penetrated the WBAB signal. Well, what's this all about? Seems that someone hijacked the signal between the radio station studios and the tower and broadcasted some racial material over their airwaves. Let's take a listen to This Week in Amateur Radio's take on the WBAB story.
And finally this week, a popular morning program on WBAB radio was hijacked this week, station officials said, by someone who broke into its broadcast, apparently by using an illegal transmitter, and played an offensive song that repeated a racial epithet several times. A similar incident occurred with WBAB's sister station, WBLI, about 2 weeks ago, with the same song, he said. The stations share a studio on Sunrise Highway in Babylon. Wednesday, the pirate broke into WBAB's broadcast about 7:15 a.m., interrupting Hey You by Pink Floyd, and playing part of a country music-style song that contains several racial slurs. The show's stunned hosts, John Paris and Roger Luce, and the station's technicians were unable to block the pirate transmission, Olson said. After the intruder's song ended, several seconds of empty airspace followed until regular broadcasting resumed with the end of the Pink Floyd song. Olson said the station's engineers were investigating what happened Wednesday, but he had one possible explanation. He said that from its studio in Babylon, WBAB sends a high-frequency microwave signal to its transmitting tower about 6 miles away in Dix Hills near the Long Island Expressway. Somebody using an illegal transmitter and small antenna, we believe, overtook our signal between the studio and the transmitter, and that's how they got in, he said. He added that the pirate would have to be near the signal, but not necessarily at the transmission tower. You have to be pretty technologically proficient in order to know how to do it, he said. The equipment is probably readily available, and if you know how to put it together, then it's something that's very possible. WBAB radio executive asked the Federal Communications Commission this week to investigate who hijacked their radio signal and offered a $10,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. This was not a child's prank. This was a federal offense, station programmer John Olson said at a news conference. Clearly, someone has a bone to pick with WBAB.
And our last news story of the week comes from Cracker's website. The Lundra Gazette states that in a campaign against pirate radio in Hackney, United Kingdom, a suburb south of London, 18 pirate radio stations have been taken off the air in the last month. Keith Vaness of Hackney Homes Estate Safety Team states that pirate radio is illegal, and while it is a nuisance for residents trying to listen to legitimate radio stations and can be quite noisy, it is far more serious than that. He added, "There is a strong link between pirate radio and crime. In many cases, the pirate radio station is used to sell drugs and warn of drug raids. The transmitters used can also be large in size and are not only ugly to look at, but a significant danger to residents if they fall from a roof." Ugly to look at? My God, hasn't this guy ever seen the soft, warm glow of a nice tube? I digress. No, it seems that they're hunting pirates in London again.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
Well, it's time now to take a look at the Free Radio Network at some of the more relevant postings. Starting off, like we typically do, with Pirate Shortwave. Cosmic Debris posts that the professor at WFMU caught a couple broadcasts in the 6925 to 6950 range last weekend and posted about them in his ongoing Adventures in Amplitude Modulation series on the WFMU blog. The professor is slowly going through the bands and blogging what he hears. Last week, the poor slob caught the voice of Mike Gawkin. Poor slob. Of all the pirate radio things to hear, he catches the voice of Mike Gawkin. Good show, though. Continuing on, Pat Murphy posts his thanks for the support from the FRN gang, stating that finally, after many years as administrator of the FRN, he's had enough of the people who had nothing better to do than to make trouble and problems on the FRN. That is why anyone wanting a new account has to go through him now. Email him for a new account. I think LC states it best when he said, "We are very fortunate indeed that we inmates are not in control of the asylum. Thank you for watching out for us, Pat." Sea Lord posts a nifty little transmitter for low power DRM. Rockin' Rick wonders how long before we have DRM pirates. Bill O'Reitz doesn't think DRM pirates will be operating until there's a lot of listeners that are DRM capable. Pierce Maximus goes on to mention the possibility of an upcoming regional high-frequency DRM service, much like the one in the UK is presently experimenting with on 26 MHz. Commander Bunny posts that he recently was heard in the Netherlands. He goes on to brag that he is regularly heard in Western France, South America, as well as America, Canada, and England. Yes, we all thank God for our all-powerful commander is a benevolent and wise leader. Praise the bunny. I post a link to a news story I came across on This Week in Amateur Radio's news ticker. Seems that the South African Radio League is organizing to find pirates on the 40-meter band. 807B replies that they're looking for unlicensed two-way communications in the band. Yep, that was the point, that they're organizing to look for intruders into the ham bands. That's why the pirates need to stay far away from the hams. They organize to hunt us. And that's all the posts of note on the FRN in the last week. As always, I have no affiliation with the FRN, other than just a regular reader. And looking over at the DX Programs forums, that's over at piratedxer.com, I posted that I have fixed a bunch of broken links on my website, shortwavepirate.info, on the audio download section. I've also made available a directory that houses all the off-air recordings I link to on the FRN loggings page. Well, as of this Sunday morning, I have yet to receive the Free Radio Weekly, so pirate radio stations logged this last week is from the logging pages of the FRN, and they include WBMR, the voice of Mike Gawkin, Radio First Termer, Radio 6, Lizard King Radio, Ground Zero Radio, Iron Man Radio, and Mystery Radio. QSLs reported being received from this last week have been from Voice of Captain Ron Shortwave and Pirate Radio Boston. It doesn't look like the Pirate DXer will be joining us today, but I have a bunch of off-air recordings that I recorded last night. It had been Saturday night, the 20th. The first one up is Radio First Termer. This was on 6925 Upper Sideband. Very long program from 2308 through the midnight hour to 045. Bunch of hard acid rock music, started off with the classic Dave Rabbit Radio First Termer and ending up with a bunch of sound clips from the Radio First Termer Iraq. This is about a 2-minute clip from the right around the transmission period when they went from the classic Dave to the new Dave. Had a pretty good signal on this one.
Love my eyes on you. Instantly quit line. From the rock opera of Tommy. By the Who. The Overture. Here's another latrine philosophy. Fuck yesterday. Forget tomorrow. Live today. Cook it. Radio First Termer, Iraq. This is Dave Rabbit, from Saigon to the Desert Sand, and everywhere beyond and in between. Hard acid rock music and good time for the American men and women on the front line. Radio First Termer, Iraq, coming soon to a war near you.
The following program is in living color and has been rated X by the Iraq Academy of Maggots and Lifers. This is Radio First Termer, operating on Dave Rabbit's own frequency of 69 megacycles on your FM dial. The purpose of this program is to bring vital news, information, and hard acid rock music to the first term and non-reinvestees in the recovery of the lost. Radio First Termer operates under no military regulations or manual. In the event of a bike squad raid, this program will automatically self-destruct. So fasten your seatbelt, bring your seats and tray tables into their fully upright position. Then bend over and kiss your ass goodbye, because...
The next recording I have for us is Iron Man Radio. Came on right after Radio First Termer went off air. With a similar signal, I called it a 434 SIO, had a computerized female ID right at sign-on. Everybody tended to ID this initially as Radio Ireland, but Scruffy Swab came on a little bit later onto the boards of the FRN and correctly ID'd it as Iron Man Radio. So this is Iron Man Radio, Saturday night, around 0045. This is how they came on.
You are listening to Iron Radio.
All shop itself can always find room in a world full of worry and fear. Chips, cigarettes, chemistry set, and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Rain, I didn't
The last clip I have for us today is Ground Zero Radio. They were actually on twice last night. This is from the second broadcast, 6925.5 AM. They were on from 0117 to 028, SIO of 434. They had a sign on with an ID, and this is actually how they ended the broadcast, with a little clip of Paradise City and then a quote from Dr. Strangelove's Slim Pickens, toe-to-toe with the Russians. And all three of these recordings can be downloaded in their entirety from the website, www.shortwavepirate.info. Go to the audio download sections, and you'll see the Recorded by Ragnar badge there that takes you to the new section of the website that has all my off-air recordings. So let's take a listen to Ground Zero Radio.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at
In other radio news this week, two quick stories, both coming from WBCQ. The first one I meant to talk about last week. They are now announcing a shortwave overnight program starting last Sunday, the May 14th. WBCQ will be airing on 7415 shortwave overnights, free speech and rock and roll, hosted by Temtron. They're going to have a format very close to what Alan had in his pirate radio days. They will be playing rock music overnight with open phone lines. You can call in and talk about anything you want, and there is no limits on content or language, so go ahead, call them up and swear at them if you want. The second news story I want to talk about is WBCQ's space transmissions. WBCQ just installed an optical laser transmitter. They're calling it the Photon Cannon, which really kind of scares me. I don't know which scares me more, Temtron or Alan Weiner having control of a photon cannon. But anyways, they have a high-power modulated laser that can send signals directly into outer space. Alan's going to be kicking off this new service Friday, June 2nd, during Alan Weiner's Worldwide program on 7415 at 8 p.m. Eastern. He will be asking callers to call in with their outer space messages, which he will transmit directly through Space Transmission's laser photon cannon into space at the same time as he's going to be broadcasting it on WBCQ 7415, all free of charge. Now, there's a website dedicated for this. It's spacetransmissions.com. They got a lot of neat photos there and a little bit of backstory on the microwave transmissions as well as the modulated laser they have. Really, really interesting. Take a look at it. Well, I know we haven't had a website of the week now for several weeks because I really haven't found anything that was really interesting. But when it rains, it pours. I've had two of them sent to me and I stumbled across the third. I think I will save the third one for maybe next week. But let's take a look at two websites that come across my email this last week. The first one is a QSL page and I have linked to it at shortwavepirate.info. Over on the right, there is links to various QSLs. This new page is from Europe. It's a German program service. That's what the title of it is at the top. A lot of it is in German, but they do have a nice QSL page for European pirates from the last couple years. Everything from Antonio Radio, Enjoy Radio, European Music Radio, Laser Hot Hits, Lord Radio, and it goes on. It's got a probably 10 or 15 QSLs, and it's really kind of interesting. The second website for this week is www.geocities.com/onegammyleg, a very informative website with a lot of links and a lot of areas for various types of shortwave listening, not specifically pirate, but shortwave DXing and antennas and general interest shortwave radio pages, other radio electronics info. Very well laid out and a lot of information here. I will be taking a long look at it. The link, of course, will be in my blog as well as everything else we talk about this week. Well, it's time now for the propagation forecast from This Week in Amateur Radio, G0KYA, Steve Nichols, monthly propagation report. And then we're going to go into World of Radio's Glenn Hauser for the actual propagation forecast.
Hello, this is Steve Nichols, G0KYA, with the propagation prediction report for May 2006. Okay, now let's look at the solar details for last month. Well, last month we had a solar flux low of 74 and a high of 101, which was right at the end of the month, which is about right for this point of the solar cycle and definitely not very good for good propagation. It's now beginning to look like we may be at a sunspot minimum. Bit difficult to tell, but obviously we need a few months more yet to find out, but we definitely are somewhere in the ballpark for solar minimum, which is not very good news for HF propagation. Last month, the geomagnetic A index, middle latitudes, hit 32 on the 14th of April. Quite a disturbed month, really, and I must say May isn't looking that much better. We've had quite a few disturbed days already. This month alone, there have been two aurora warnings issued in the UK, although no reports of actual physical aurora have been seen. Now, this month, pretty much more of the same, I think. We're now into the summer period. So daytime maximum usable frequencies are likely to be lower than those in winter, although nighttime MUFs may be higher than those in winter. Note that DX on the low bands, if possible, is unlikely to occur until around midnight or the early hours due to the late sunset we're getting this time of year. On 160 metres, that's 1.8 megahertz or top band, high levels of static and solar absorption mean that the band will not really support skywave contacts during the day. And during darkness, short skip openings may occur, but DX is going to be a bit more of a rarity than it was in the winter. Occasional openings can occur during the hours of darkness, especially around local midnight or the early hours of the morning. 80 metres, that's 3.5 megahertz, will generally follow the characteristics of top band, with high levels of static during the day. Should also provide good openings out to around 250 miles during the day, and DX capabilities will be poor to fair during the hours of darkness. 40 metres, 7 megs will suffer from high static caused by high numbers of thunderstorms, and nevertheless, nighttime openings should be reliable from just after sunset to just after sunrise. Local daytime openings will also be possible on the whole. Nighttime skips distances are likely to be between 500 and 2,300 miles. 20 metres, 14 megahertz is still likely to be the best DX band between sunrise and sunset, although the band will be noisier than the winter period. The higher MUFs at night means that 20 metres may remain open during the evening to DX, and short skip may also be possible due to summer sporadic E. 70 metres, 15 metres should provide a fair number of DX openings during daylight hours, especially to the southern hemisphere. But once again, 50 metres may struggle to open during the times of low solar flux like we're having now, and both bands are likely to close after sunset. Sporadic E will provide good short skip openings at this time. 12 metres, 10 metres, that's 24 megahertz, 28 megahertz are likely to be disappointing bands, apart from sporadic E openings that will provide regular openings out to around 1,300 miles, and we should be seeing some sporadic E by now. Multi-hop sporadic E openings are also possible, providing relatively good but short-lived paths to DX beyond this range, even possible to cross the Atlantic with a multi-hop sporadic E contact.
The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued May 16th, solar activity very low to low. Geomagnetic field mostly unsettled to active, with isolated minor storm levels possible. June 2nd and 3rd, when A and K indices will peak at 20 and 4, down to 5 and 2 on May 22nd, 29th, 30th, June 5th and 6th. Solar flux rising from 70 May 17th to a peak of 85 May 26th to 29th, down to 70 again by June 9th.
Well, that's going to wrap up this Pirates Week. Thank God. Usually I can put out a Pirates Week in about 3 hours. I think I'm on hour 7. I have no idea why, other than I just couldn't talk this morning. I don't know, all tongue-tied. Anyways, until next week, hopefully with a new microphone and sounding maybe just a little bit better. So until next week, guys, keep those radios on and listening to Pirate Shortwave. And thank you for listening.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week, piratesweek.tripod.com.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.